الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون، وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم اغفر للحاج ولمن استغفر له الحاج، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, the fifth pillar of Islam, that pillar of Islam through which the completion and culmination of our deen Islam occurred, the injunction and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pertaining to Hajj, we find that it has reached its culmination, its completion. Majority of the Hujjaj have returned already, and many of them are returning. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to that is that we find in various riwayat the injunction given to us that when you meet the Haji, request the Haji to make dua for you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of a Haji. The hadith which I mentioned in the beginning was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. He said, O Allah, forgive the Haji and forgive the one on whose behalf the Haji asks for forgiveness. That person also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua that Allah ta'ala must accept the dua of maghfirat of the Haji. We find that this journey of Hajj in reality is a journey of spiritual elevation. The Haji, if this injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is carried out correctly, then the Quran encapsulates the return that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, the spiritual elevation which Allah Ta'ala gives the Haji in the expression which is found in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the Hujjaj leaving from Arafah. Now the Arabic word to leave or to move is kharaja. So it should have been fa'idha kharajtum min Arafat, when the Hajis leave Arafah. But we find interestingly in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala does not use the word, the expression fa'idha kharajtum. Allah says fa'idha afadtum min Arafah. That when the Hajis make ifadha from Arafah. Now what is this ifadha? Ulama explain, literally it means when something overflows. If one has to take an aerial vision of the movement of 2 or 3 million insan leaving Arafah, it looks like a dam or a river that has overflowed with the sea of humanity. But what is the underlying meaning behind this analogy that Quran gives us? فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَةٍ. That if this hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this injunction of Hajj is carried out correctly, then the heart of the Haji will overflow with the love of Allah, with the recognition of Allah, with the ma'rifat of Allah. So فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَةٍ. When the heart of this Haji, the nuraniyat of Allah's ta'alluq, Allah's love is pouring out of that heart. Like the poet puts it beautifully, he says, Ala qul li zuwari daril habib, Ala qul li zuwari daril habib, Hani'an lakum fil jinanil khuludi, Afidhu alayna min al-ma'i fayda, Fanahnu utashun wa antum murudu. He says, listen, say to the one who has performed Hajj, say to the one who has visited the house of my beloved Allah, Hani'an lakum, mubarak to you, glad tidings to you, of what? Biljinanil khuludi, Allah has promised you a jannat. Allah has promised you paradise forever and ever. If that hajj was hajj mabrur, afidhu alayna min al-ma'i faydha, now give us some of the water. What water? The water of Allah's love. The water of Allah's marifa that you have drunk from. فَنَحْنُ عُطَاشٌ وَأَنْتُمْ مُرُودُ. You have drunk to your fill. We are still thirsty. So bless us with some of that water. Behind all this, essentially, my respected brothers, is a very important message for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when qurbani is given, when sacrifice is given, when hardship is undertaken for the sake of Allah, then automatically Allah Ta'ala blesses the heart of that person who underwent this qurbani and sacrifice with his marifat, with his recognition, with the nuraniyat of Allah's ta'alluq and Allah's love. And there are certain symbolic lessons that are attached to this entire exercise of hajj. And likewise, a few days ago, qurbani took place. Not only those in Mina made qurbani, but throughout the entire Islamic world, Muslims throughout the world carried out this ritual of qurbani. There are certain asbaq and lessons that are attached to this haqaiq, that every year is reintroduced. Muzakara of this is made in front of the ummah for them to realize the importance of this, because our deen is not only pertained to the period of hajj. In fact, ulama say that period where the haji ties the ihram for a few days and thereafter he opens the ihram, they say symbolically it is a reminder for every one of us that the life in this world is a short period where we have tied the ihram. And the day we will open our ihram is the day when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the plains of Hashar. That is why ulama say the gathering of Arafah is a reminder of the gathering that will take place in Hashar, that is the plains of Qiyamah. Unfortunately, many of us have been for Hajj and Umrah over and over again. The years are passing. We carry out the ahkamat of deen, qurbani, etc. But the symbolic lessons, the reminders, the haqaiq of these things, unfortunately very, very few of us even realize what they are. Almost 13 centuries ago, one great Allahwala, 13 centuries ago, not now, 13 centuries ago, he said, Al-Hajj Qaleel wal-Rukban Kathir. He said, the Hajis are very few and the travelers are many. From that time already, 13 centuries later, we can realize what the situation of the ummah is. This is a clear indication of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَا أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّ وَأُسَاتُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَ وَفُقَرَاهُمْ لِلْمَسْأَلَ وَقُرَّاهُمْ لِلْرِيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ. He said, a time will come upon my ummah when the haqaiq and the reality and the essence and the ruh of a'mal will come out. For the rich people, hajj and umrah will become a holiday. For the middle classes, it will become a financial enterprise, a business exercise. For the poor people, it will become an opportunity for them to beg. And even for the religious classes, even for those who are endowed with deeni knowledge, it will become an opportunity for them to boast how many hajj they have made. But the reality and the haqaiq and the essence of this will have come out. What are the asbaq, what are the lessons that we are required each year to revisit through this exercise of hajj and qurbani? Unfortunately, this occasion of Jumu'ah, it is impossible for us to go into details. But just one or two aspects. The verse of the Quran which I recited in the beginning, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, you will never attain true piety. You will never attain the true love and the true closeness, what we call in Urdu, kamal-e qurb. True closeness of Allah, true ta'alluq of Allah is impossible without qurbani and sacrifice. Until you don't give up that which you love for Allah's sake, until you do not sacrifice that which you love for Allah's sake, Allah's qurb, Allah's ta'alluq is impossible. It is said when this verse of the Quran was revealed, one sahabi Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, when this verse of the Quran came in front of me, ذَكَرْتُ مَا آتَانِ اللَّهِ, I started thinking of all my possessions. Whatever Allah has given me, I started pondering what is beloved to me. So he says, فَلَمْ أَجِدْ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمْ مُرْجَانَ جَارِيَةً لِي رُمِيَّ. He says, amongst whatever I had, there was one beautiful Roman princess. She was a slave girl that had come to me. Her name was Murjana. She was very, very beautiful. Allah had placed the love of this woman in my heart. Quran had come down. You want Allah, sacrifice that which you love. So what does he do? He says, I freed her immediately. And to make her inaccessible to me, I got her married to my freed slave, Nafia. To say these things are easy, my respected brothers. But when the love of a woman overtakes the heart of a person, this is not an easy qurbani and sacrifice to give. Not only does he free her, he gets her married to his freed slave Nafi'a. And it is mentioned in the riwayat that of this union a child was born. Such was the love that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma had for this woman. That he would pick that child up, and he would breathe the scent of that child because it would remind him of the love that he had for the mother, which he sacrificed because of one verse of the Quran. Allah says, you want me, you have to sacrifice. The hardest thing for any individual to give up is his home. Is to give up that which is dear to him. And this was that qurbani and sacrifice that was taken from every Nabi of Allah, from Adam alayhi salam to Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This leaving one's home for the sake of Allah. This is the most difficult thing for any person to do. And in Islam, leaving one's home for the sake of Allah is referred to as hijrat. The door to hijrat opened through Hajj. 13 years of effort in Makkah Mukarramah, in the plains of Mina and Arafah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 to 10, person to person, giving the da'wah of Islam, may yu'wini, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi, who is going to shelter me, who is going to become my helper, so that I can make tabligh of this deen. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجْهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَثَى عَلَيْهِ التُّرَابِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَبَّ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ. They used to spit at him. They flung stones at him. They beat him. They accursed him. They persecuted him. Mercilessly, 13 years, open up the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said, there's no time. That park personality, one hair on his body is more valuable than the arsh of Allah, was beaten mercilessly in Mina for 13 years because of da'wat and tabligh. Dastan and legacy of qurbani and sacrifice. Through that 11th year, six people came from Madina Munawwara: Abul Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Saad bin Rabi', Haritha bin Nu'man, Abdullah bin Rawaha, and Asad bin Zurara radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Six people from Madina Munawwara. The last two rukus of Surah Ibrahim was recited to them late at night in a valley which is located close to the third Jamara. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Till Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the verse, هَذَا بَلَاغٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيُنذَرُوا بِهِ وَلِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Their hearts were changed. They accepted Islam. That formed the foundation. Next year, 12 people came. 13th year, 72 people came. 70 men, 2 women. Umm Mani, Umm Ammara, radiyallahu anhunna ajma'in, from Madina Munawwara. Then the permission for hijrat was given. The ultimate qurbani, the ultimate sacrifice, where Makkah Mukarramah was left, the birthplace of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was left, Sahaba left their homes, they left their businesses, they gave everything up for one object and purpose only. That Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, there was no Nabi to come after him. There was no Ummah to come after this Ummah. This hijrat had to take place for the sake of Dawat and Tabligh. This hijrat had to take place for the propagation of Islam. This hijrat had to take place for this entire humanity to be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. For that reason, through Hajj, Allah opened the door of hijrat. And in the Khilafat, of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a mashwara is held with Sahaba. What is the topic of this mashwara? Islam has been established. Islam was growing on a daily basis in the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. Islam had spread to 2,200,000 square miles. Governments had been established. Now we need an Islamic calendar. Where must we start the calendar from? Somebody said Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Someone said Fateh Makkah. Someone said Fateh Badr. Badr was the turning point. Miladun Nabi was the turning point. Conquest of Makkah was the turning point. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained silent. Finally, Umar turned to him that, Ali, you are keeping silent. What is your opinion? What is the turning point? Where should the Islamic calendar start? Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, Hijrah. Hijrat. The door to Hijrat was opened through Hajj. Sahaba understood the importance of this hijrat, the qurbani behind it, and it was acknowledged in this way that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted the rai and opinion of Ali bin Abi Talib, and the Islamic calendar started with hijrat. That is why we say 10 years after hijrah, 11 years after hijrah, 1435 years after hijrat. This was set down in stone, the importance of this for the Ummah till Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was asked, Ayyul Imani Afdal, what is the pinnacle of Iman? What is the height of Iman? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded, Hijrah. Leaving one's home. Leaving one's home for the sake of Allah. This is not something that the Tabligh Jamaat introduced. This is not something that some organization introduced. On the plains of Mina, Qurbani takes place. Throughout the entire world, Eid al-Adha, Qurbani takes place. Quran tells us, Sunnat Abikum Ibrahim. This is the sunnat of what? Your father. The father, your father Ibrahim. We are reminded about what? That Ibrahim alayhi salam was that Nabi of Allah who made two types of hijrat. Two types of hijrat. One was the small hijrat, one was the big hijrat. The small hijrat was what? He would leave Sarah and Umm Madian, the other two wives that he had, for short periods of time, what we call hijrat muwaqqat. He would leave them and go in the path of Allah. That was the small hijrat. But there was a big hijrat. When you want to put up a big building, when you want to put up a big building, then the foundation has to be deeper. The foundation has to be bigger. The more developed the structure, the bigger the foundation. An entire family was broken up. An entire family was broken up. Allah was laying the foundation of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An ummah in whose lifeblood there will be hijrat. An ummah that will be required. Women will have to become widows. Children will have to become orphans. An ummah who, when it reached its pinnacle on the plains of Mina and Arafah, 124,000 sahaba were in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this zimmedari and responsibility of Dawat and Tabligh finally was passed over to this ummah, they accepted in such a way that that majma of 124,000, more than 110,000 made their graves away from their homes. Hijrat, kamal-e-qurb, Allah's close ta'alluq, Allah's true love is impossible until you will not sacrifice that which is beloved to you. The most beloved, your house has to be left. Your business has to be left for the sake of Allah. This family, what is the history behind it? A Nabi of Allah, beloved of Allah, Khalilullah, 60, 70 years of dua. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Ya Allah, give me a pious son. Ya Allah, give me a pious son. Ya Allah, give me a pious son. Can we even equate how many tears he must have shed in 60 years odd? Can we equate how many sajda this Nabi must have made asking for this child? How much he must have begged Allah to give him a child? That Quran reproduces this. And finally, this Nabi's dua, after decades, is accepted by Allah. And when the child is born, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, then the command from Allah comes that a journey has to take place. Hijrat. Hijrat. Palestine has to be left behind. Where, ya Allah, where must I take them and leave them? Allah sends a guide. Who is the guide? Who is the rehber? Jibreel alayhi salam. Ibrahim al-Islam doesn't even know what the destination is. This journey is undertaken 2,000 odd kilometers from Palestine. Finally, when they reach Makkah Mukarramah, to understand and appreciate what is behind this qurbani and sacrifice, don't think of the Makkah of today that we see on the pictures, on the posters. In your mind's eye, turn the clock of your mind back 4,000 years. To a land which Quran describes, Wadin Ghairizi Zara, a land without any vegetation. Arid desert, black mountains, Jabal Abi Qubais, Jabal Marwa, Jabal Umar, Jabal Safwa, Jabal Marwa, arid black mountains in every direction. No water, no vegetation, no inhabitants. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he reaches this point, he's commanded, leave your family and go now. The same Ibrahim, when he was being flung into a raging fire, went silently, said nothing. The same Ibrahim, when he's told, leave your family here, he gets a shock. He says, in this place? He says to Jibreel, leave them here? There is nothing here. What must have been going through his heart and his mind? What must have been going through the heart and the mind of this Nabi? 23, 24-year-old young wife, Hajar. Newborn Ismail, after so many years of dua, leave them in this place without any vegetation, inhabitation, nothing. He's shocked. For the fire, he said nothing. Here he's shocked. And Hajar follows him as he is leaving. The command had been given to not give any explanation. Leave them without saying anything. She catches hold of his clothing. Where are you going? Ila man takiluna. Ila man takiluna. Ila man takiluna. Who is going to look after us? Have I wronged you? Have I hurt you? Have I done some wrong? Forgive me. She follows him, right up till Quday, which is 3 or 4 kilometers outside Makkah. Until finally, when she reaches that point, the thought occurs to her that this is the Nabi of Allah. A Nabi will not just do something like this without a reason. So when that thought occurs to her, Allahu amaraka bihada? Has Allah commanded you with this? Has Allah commanded you with this? To this he nods in affirmation. Look at the mountain of Iman. When this is said, Allah has commanded this without hesitation. Idhan layyudhayya an Allah. Then I am ready. Then you leave us. Because Allah will never cause us to perish. Allah will be with us. What is the sabak? Some incident to entertain us? Some incident to entertain us? Is this what this is? Is this why this qurbani was given? No, my respected brothers, it is for that businessman. When that document of riba is in front of him, on the one side is the command of Allah, on the other side is the dictates of his passions and desires. When that temptation to usurp someone else's haq is in front of him, in that house of ours, when that shaitan box is in front of us, when the temptations of dunya are in front of us, at that time do we keep Allah in front or do we follow our passions and desires? To teach us that sabak and lesson, the iman of our mother Hajar is being brought in front of us. That if this is the command of my Allah, إِذَنْ لَيُّذَيَّعَنَ اللَّهُ, there is no food, there is no inhabitants, there is no vegetation, there is no one to look after me. I have a newborn baby, I am a young defenseless woman on my own. But if it is the command of my Allah, Allah will never cause me to perish. This sabak of iman, for the Ummah to be reminded, this is why this incident is being recounted. إِذَنْ لَيُّذَيَّعَنَ اللَّهُ, Ibrahim, go! Allah will never cause us to perish. The same Ibrahim alayhi salam, as he climbs over a hill and his family is no longer visible, Quran reproduces the dua. He looks to the heavens, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. We cannot lament sufficiently the lack of the munasabat of this ummah with Quran. We don't have any idea of the Arabic language. One, we can translate this, pick up a translation and read it. But the dard, the cry, the pain that is contained in this expression, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. No language can translate that. That, Ya Allah, on your command, I have left my family behind. In this place, Ya Allah, let Salah be established. Turn the hearts of humanity towards this place. Let the barakat of the rosy and sustenance of the entire world come to this place. Allah accepts the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is gone. In this entire incident, my respected brothers, the true qurbani and sacrifice was not that of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It was that of Hajar, this young woman. Ibrahim alayhi salam had two other wives. He had two other wives, Umme Madian and Sarah. It was a sacrifice without a doubt. But what about Hajar? Sometimes at night, you know, they say, when the ANC government came in, power outages started, they said, what is ANC? Another night in candlelight. At night when the electricity goes, what happens to our women folk? What happens to our young teenage daughters? It's like Qiyamah came away. Imagine, as the darkness settled on Makkah Mukarrama, arid black mountains, pitch dark. No birds, no insects, total absolute silence. Hajar on her own with this little baby, without any explanation why she is going through this. She did not know what a great qurbani Allah is taking from her. That the bismillah of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is taking place. That the foundation of an ummah of hijrat is being laid. Then the next day, as the day opened its eyes, as the curtain of the night was removed, its veil was removed from the sun, and as the ground started baking with the heat of the sun, where would she have placed that child down? It was boiling hot everywhere. Where would she have placed that child? As the little supply started diminishing and the heat increased, 2 or 3 days passed. Supplies were now finished. No water, no food. What goes through that? Sometimes you go to a hospital or somewhere and you see a little baby suffering with some sickness or starvation or some hardship. It's not even your own child. What dukh and pain is caused in the heart? To a stranger, when you see a stranger's child suffering, what must have went through the heart of that mother to see her own child starving? And not any child, the child of a Nabi. That's one qurbani. The other qurbani, she had given up a husband like Ibrahim alayhi salam. She had given up a home like Palestine. Her birthplace was Misr, was Egypt. Finally, she couldn't take it. To see the child suffering like this, she places the child on the ground. There was no hope. She didn't expect anybody to come. Now from Safa to Marwa, Safa to Marwa. Nowadays they have raised it, they made it flat, made it look very nice also. Those were arid mountains at that time. As she's going in desperation, there was a period, there was a portion where the child would become invisible. She would run through that portion. Allah loved even that running so much that even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded, run here like your mother ran here. And every ummati till qiyamah that goes to Makkah Mukarramah is commanded, bring alive the sunnah of Hajar. Understand how much Allah loved and accepted the qurbani of this family. Safa, Marwa, 7 times. Until finally, She reaches the last breath. She has given up also. The child is sobbing and crying in the last gasp of life. Hajar, defeated, sits down. And then the thought enters her heart, let me take one last glance at my baby. She raises the gaze and she sees an apparition. She sees someone there by the child. A burst of energy comes up. She feels the child is threatened. She musters her strength and she runs. By the time she reaches the child, from the feet of Ismail alayhi salam, Zamzam is flowing. The water of Zamzam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lima shuriba lahu, whatever you drink it for, with whatever niyat or intention, Allah ta'ala will fulfill that. Such is the barakat of that water. And that well is running. Millions and millions and millions and millions of liters are being taken out. Yet that well is still running through the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Few years pass. And again the command comes to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now go back to your family in Makkah Mukarramah, not to be reunited. Not to be reunited. What is this command? Now go back and slaughter that same child that you made dua for more than 60 years for. To talk about these things are easy. My respected brothers, imagine what must have been going through the heart and the mind of that Nabi in the 2,000 kilometer journey from Philistine, as every day Makkah, every step Makkah is coming closer, in his mind's eye he is picturing the severed head of Ismail alayhi salam. He comes to Makkah, takes the child. Quran reproduces this incident. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. This مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ, Mufassirin explain that the age of Ismail alayhi salam would have been somewhere between 6 and 10 years of age. He takes his son to the point where the Jamara, the big Jamara is located to the side of it. Like I said, I'm cutting the incident short. When he reaches this point, he says to his son that, oh my son, do you know why I have brought you here? Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. Allah has commanded me to sacrifice you. Allah has commanded me to sacrifice you. What is the response of this child? This response is reproduced in the Quran. Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. This ya abati. Like I mentioned many times, the Arabic language is not a dry language like the English language. Ya abati, in fact, denotes joy. It denotes happiness. Ismail alayhi salam got happy. Quran is bearing gawah to this. It defies logic. I'm going to slaughter you. What does this child say? Ya abati. Oh, my beloved father. He becomes happy. If'al, without wow, without fa, without thumma, not thumma f'al, fa'fa'al. If'al, without the wow, without thumma, means do it quickly, don't wait. Do it quickly. Carry out the command of Allah. If'al ma tu'mar. Ibrahim alayhi salam himself is shocked. The riwayat of Ibn Qudama Hanbali rahimullah supports this. That Ibrahim alayhi salam says to his son, that do you realize what I'm asking you? Do you know what I'm going to do? He said, oh my father, I understand. If you take my life instead of this dunya, instead of you, I will get Allah, and Allah is better than you. Instead of this dunya, I will get Jannat, and Jannat is better than this dunya. But I have one concern, that this loss will hurt my mother. So he removes his kurta, and he says, do not let my blood fall on this kurta. Give this kurta back to my mother. Whenever she thinks of me, she will remember me by it. And bury me here, do not bury me there. Who is talking? A 6-year-old child. 6 to 10 years of age. Bury me here, do not bury me there. I do not want to cause dukh to my mother. And then a small child is giving advice, nasihat, to Khalilullah. Who is Khalilullah? That personality. Quran says, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. This word ummat, nation, is not used for any personality besides Ibrahim alayhi salam. Quran refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam as ummat. In other words, Qaid-e Kamil, Rehbar-e Kamil, a perfect, complete leader. Small child is giving him nasihat. What does he say? He says, tie my hands, tie my feet, so that the excessive movement of my body should not distress you. And then he says to his father, turn my face to the ground. Do not let my eyes face you, because I do not want to make this harder for you. Quran, Quran establishes the authenticity of this by mentioning this. Falamma aslama wattallahu lil jabin. Allah says Ibrahim alayhi salam turned Ismail alayhi salam face down. Tallahu lil jabin. At this point, I am digressing. Ask ourselves this question, my respected brothers. Ask ourselves this question. Where did this tarbiyat come from? Where did this mountain of iman come from in this little child? Ismail alayhi salam had no exposure to his father. This sabak of iman, this spiritual nurturing came from the lap of his mother Hajar. His only exposure was to his mother. The teenage girl of today who wants to go to school and then to university and then to get a degree. The young mother of today who with her hair open, with the Ray-Bans on, takes the little baby, drops off at the park. Those young mothers of today who are worried about the fashion of this world and who are chasing behind this dunya, whose dressing is such, whether they are dressed or undressed is difficult to realize. What type of tarbiyat of children are they making? What are the chances of the youth of today when the laps of this, the mothers of this ummah have dried up? Women are going in public, what gender equality? Islam. Na'uzubillah, thumma na'uzubillah, we have this idea, has not given women their maqam and status. Wallah, 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 my respected brothers, Islam has given a mother that maqam and status and that responsibility. If it was told to her to move a mountain, would be easy compared to the responsibility Allah has given a mother. What is that responsibility? She is the first madrasa of Islam. She is the first madrasa of Islam. That Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani's and the Rabia Basri's of tomorrow are not prepared by the fathers, my respected brothers. They are prepared by the mothers. When the mother of this ummat will be on iman, when the mother of this ummat will be on deen, when the mother of this ummat will have the fikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her heart, then the flowers of Islam will be produced. This tarbiyat and this mountain of iman that this child displays is not because of exposure to his father. It was learnt at the feet and at the lap of his mother. He says, oh my father, tie my hands, tie my feet, put my face down so that I do not distress you. Give this kurta to my mother, carry out the command of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, 90-year-old man, feet, his knees on the back of his little baby, picks the hair of the child up to expose the neck, places the knife at the neck, then looks to the heavens and says, oh my Allah, if I had angered you that the love of this child had entered my heart over your love, today I am sacrificing him for your sake. Oh my Allah, if it is because you are testing me, I am too weak, I am not worthy of being tested. Ya Allah, you make me successful in these tests. Saying these heart-rending words, it is said the malaika started crying. Perhaps the mountains of Mina cried when Ibrahim alayhi salam said this. And he passed the knife over the neck of that child. He did not know the outcome. Qad saddaqta ruya. Quran comes down. You have Ibrahim, shabash. Qad saddaqta ruya. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsineen. Inna hadha lahu al bala'ul mubeen. Allah says this was a great test. You have become successful in it. You have become successful in it. What was the sabak behind it? What was the lesson behind it? Through this qurbani, through this sacrifice, Hijrat-e-Muabbat took place. Ibrahim alayhi salam gave up his wife, gave up his child, and Nabi was required to do that, to make this complete hijrat, so that the foundation of the ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be established. An ummat of qurbani, an ummat of sacrifice. If we want Allah's qurb, if we want Allah's closeness, every year, through these incidents we are reminded, this is an ummat of hijrat, this is an ummat of sacrifice, this is an ummat that has to leave their homes for the sake of Allah, for the sake of da'wat and tabligh, for the cry and responsibility of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.